Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Gravita India Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Diksha. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Emkay Global, I welcome you everyone to this Q4 and FY 2022 post-earnings conference call of Gravita India Limited. We have with us the top management of Gravita, Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, CEO and Whole-time Director, and Mr. Sunil Kansal, CFO. Today's session will be a brief on the results by the management, and then we'll be moving over to the question and answer round. Without any further delay, now I request Mr. Malhotra for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Sabri. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings call for Q4 and financial year 2022 results. We have already circulated our earnings presentation, and I hope you have had the opportunity to go through the presentation, and we would be happy to take any questions afterwards. We would begin this call with a brief discussion on performance and financial results of quarter and year. In the fourth quarter of the fiscal year, Gravita continues to maintain the growth momentum as the overall economy saw reduced impact of health hazards and improving business environment and broad-based increase in consumption. I am pleased to report that we have delivered strong financial performance supported by healthy growth in production volumes and higher realization across business segments. Our revenue from operations stood at 666 crores, registering a growth of 52% from rupees 438 crores in same quarter last year. Domestic business continues to lead revenue growth with 64% share, while overseas business contributed 36%. Business segments have delivered strong growth on a year-on-year basis. Lead revenues were up by 47%. Aluminum revenues were up by 104%, and plastic revenues were up by 49%. In terms of volume price mix, the ongoing geopolitical tensions have resulted in broad-based increase in commodity prices, which had a favorable effect for revenue growth. For the quarter, volume growth was 23% on a year-on-year basis, and total tonnage was 37,000 metric ton, with EBITDA per ton also improving in all three segments. Company has delivered an adjusted EBITDA of rupees 73 crores, a growth of 102% on a year-on-year basis from rupees 36 crores in same quarter last year. EBITDA margins have increased by 273 basis points to 11% compared to 8% in Q4 financial year 2021. Margins improvement was delivered by improving operational efficiencies, increased share of value-added products, higher volumes and higher contributions from our overseas business. Reported net profit for the quarter was 41.34 crores compared to 21.35 crores in same quarter last year. On a full year basis, company reported revenue and operations of rupees 2,216 crores, a growth of 57% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA stood at rupees 215 crores, an increase of 83% on a year-on-year basis with margins of 9.7%. Reported net profit for the year was rupees 139 crores. We continue to generate strong returns for our shareholders in the financial year 2022. ROC stood at 29% as compared to 18% in financial year 2021. This is in line with our target, and is a result of a well-defined growth strategy supported by improving industry dynamics, reduction in working capital and improving product portfolio. I would now like to update you on some important developments for the quarter. In February, the refined lead of 99.99% purity and above produced by Gravita has been impaneled as approved lead brand at MCX. This allows us to hedge on the Indian lead market as well as gives us additional opportunities to work in the domestic lead market. In May 2022, our step-down subsidiary, Recyclers Ghana Limited, based out of West Africa, has brought into operation a rubber recycling plant. The company has incurred capital expenditure of rupees 3.8 crore for setting up this 6,000 metric ton per annum capacity, which has been funded through internal accruals. Commercial production has started and the plant will augment our strategy of diversification in different business segments, reduction in cost of production and help us improving carbon footprint of the company. We will be utilizing our learnings from this plant to establish similar rubber recycling facilities at our other manufacturing locations as well. We also face certain challenges. Power and fuel costs have seen unprecedented increase. Also, there were some global disruptions in logistics. So the finished goods and transit inventory has piled up. Also, due to unrest or slowdown in the economy in Sri Lanka, there have been certain operational issues due to which the volumes have been slightly lower. We expect the Sri Lanka volumes to continue to operate at lower volumes in next quarter as well. However, they will not have major impact on the group as we are fairly geographically diversified and our capacity growth and technological improvements keeps us in a better position to manage any disruptions arising at any specific location. I would also like to mention that the consistent growth delivered by Gravita is a reflection of our commitment to shaping a sustainable world. Our focus on developing new recycling verticals and better technologies has resulted in improving product portfolio, higher operational efficiencies, and expanding business, which is creating value for all stakeholders and shareholders. We are optimistic for the year ahead and look forward to a transformational growth phase for Gravita India. Thank you very much, and now I would like to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Rahul B. from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two, three questions. First one on the balance sheet, sir. I can see that the creditors has dropped off quite a bit in the last 6 months. September, about 230 crores, it was the number, and now it's down to about 90 odd crores. This is contrary to the general expectation that as you increase your local sourcing, your creditors should be actually in a position to fund your inventory. Correspondingly, because the creditor has gone down, debt has gone up. So if you could just explain what has happened here.
Sure, Rahul. So basically, in recycling business, practically saying there is no creditors as such, because whenever we buy the scrap, we need to pay upfront. But as exception, as we are sourcing the scrap from various OEMs like Amar Raja, so they give us the scrap and we just need to give them the finished goods, in turn convert into the metal and supply it back to them. So this model we adopted, and initially when we started this model, so there was some time gap. Our inventory was Their inventory was lying with us for 2 to 3 months, so which has now reduced because they want the inventory back in one and a half months. So that their inventory is also dropped, and correspondingly their payable is also dropped. So basically it's a two-way back.
So essentially that arrangement, the inventory to that arrangement has gone down.
Yes.
So the 230 crore kind of credited number that you had in September balance sheet is now down to about 90 crores. All that is all practically led by that drop off of the inventory. Is that what
correct,
you're saying?
Correct. So that is the only reason for dropping this inventory of Amar Raja batteries mainly.
So then how do we incrementally look at this, sir, in the sense that then...
So now it's more stable. Now it's more stable because now the that cycle is almost
almost one and a half months. So it is already streamlined. Actually, initially the problem was that our capacities were not ready to take on any additional inventory from their side. But now, as we have ramped up our capacities, now we are in a position to give them the inventory back within 1 month itself.
So this is going to be now incrementally the nature of the working capital out here, because place at the presentation you've also mentioned that you want to reduce the number of days down to 60.
Yes. So this is going to be the
proportionately this will be number will be changing according to the size of the business from that segment. So other numbers will not be in the same line. So like we are sourcing with other telecom companies also. So that is, there is no credit on that side.
Okay. But you still stand by your target of reducing the working capital to 60.
That reducing of working capital is more on account of more domestic volume. So as such, whenever we are reducing the volume or we are sourcing in Mundra, so as you know, Mundra is the newest plant, so we are very close to the port. So as soon as we source to the Mundra or we source the scrap in overseas plant instead of bringing it to India, and India is dependent on the more domestic scrap, which is also growing. So we will be reducing the working capital cycle. So working capital cycle will be reduced on reducing the import in India.
So if you could help us with the debt number on the balance sheet, I have a rough sense, but if you could give us the exact number.
So total debt on the net debt after reducing the cash portion, it is approximately 350 crores. Out of that, 110 crores is the long-term debt, and 240 crores is the short-term debt. So mainly short-term debt is mainly on account of the inventory.
So this 350 net crores debt, what was the same number, sir, in September and last March, if you have that number handy?
Yeah, so it was approximately, 280 crores last year.
280 crores last year. So 280 has become 350 in March to March.
Correct.
Okay. Sir, second is on the CWIP that we see in the balance sheet. If you could just give us a sense of where all are we, where all this CW, what all the CWIP represents in terms of expansion plans?
So various, whenever we do some capex, like we are doing some new plant like Mundra, we are also expanding to the phase two. So that is one in this CWIP. Another thing is that we have, we are also expanding at our Chittoor plant. That's also one of the component in this CWIP. Another is that we are also coming some one more plant in Africa in Togo. So that is also part of this CWIP. Other than that, Senegal is the location where we are expanding with the our own location. So with a better, bigger size of facility to in the same business. And along with that, we are also adding up aluminum business and rubber recycling in Senegal. So all these things are, you know, component of this CWIP, which is significantly higher in this year.
So third question would be, sir, given all these expansion plans and, you know, some of the previous expansion plans which would have now come into commissioning and started, getting into the numbers, what is the kind of volumes that we are expecting in 2023,
FY23? So, Rahul, basically, as we have mentioned also earlier also, that we are going to have approximately 25% growth in the volumes every year. So that we are stick to that that number of the volume growth.
Okay, so FY20, 25% on FY22.
25%, approximately 25 to 30% growth in revenue numbers, in volume growth, sorry, not in revenue numbers, year on year we are expecting.
And sir, my final question before I just join back the queue. This gross margin, while it is steady at about 21-22%, on a per ton basis, this has gone up. So you still stand by your initial comments that you used to give, where, you know, EBITDA margin of 8.5-9% kind of number. Is there a change there? How do we look at this?
So as gross margin in the similar kind of range, but you know, the fixed cost remaining same. So we are making better margins in on the EBITDA side also, and PAT is also improving. So yes, definitely we have improved. We are in the range of 9 to 10% now. But so it is all two, three things is the driver to this. One is more volumes. Another is the more value-added products,
and more contribution from the overseas business. So all these three things which is helping us from bringing it from 8 to 9 to 9 to 10.
So no element of higher commodity prices helping you in a per ton gross margin here in the
business? No, not in lead, but to some extent in aluminium, we have seen certain improvement in the total gross margin because of the commodity prices.
Okay, so lead doesn't have any element of inventory gain or commodity price gain.
No, we are fully hedged.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue, sir. Thank you very much for answering.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Raj Shah from Stateros Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, hi. So, congrats on the ratio of number. My first question is that the plastic division has seen a substantial increase in margins, you know. So, if you could just throw some light on what has led to that increase and is it sustainable or not?
Yeah, so actually, plastic business has just started to stabilize for the past 1 to 2 years because of the COVID. As we already mentioned sometimes back in our presentation, that because of the COVID, there was overall decrease in the businesses, especially our PET business, which is dependent on overseas in Central American region. But now that has started stabilizing, and we see huge growth in terms of the value we can unlock in that region. Also, because there are certain policy changes that have taken place in the markets we supply to, like the US and the Europe, where they have made recycled food grade plastic mandatory for use in bottle to bottle applications. So we are taking advantage of those benefits, and we believe that the margins would continue to remain on similar lines, around 15 to 17,000 tons rupees per ton.
Okay, fair enough. And we know the effective tax rate on the consolidated basis is fairly low. If you could just help me understand that, why is that low?
Yeah, so we are basically we are into. So as the overseas business is growing, we are into certain geographies where still tax is practically zero because we are into free zone in certain new geographies like Ghana and Tanzania, which is contributing significantly in this bottom line. So the average tax rate is close to 10-11%, and we believe that with the coming future growth also, we are expanding in overseas in further. We are expanding in Senegal also. We are coming up with a new plant in Togo, which will also be a tax-efficient geography. So we will be continuing to in the range of 10 to 11% of tax in future also.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'll just come back and if you have any questions. Sure. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Piyush Mehta. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, Yogesh Ji, Sunil Ji.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Sir, just a couple of questions on, I think the finance cost which is mentioned as FCB's adjustment to interest cost. Is this a one-off or will we keep seeing it as long as there's... So can you explain the nature of this incremental, almost close to 8 crore cost? That plus the Forex cost, which you've taken 6.7 crores. The nature of these two costs that have come in.
Okay, so the one reason of increase in the finance cost is the increase in the debt. One part is that. But the major part in this quarter is on account of, like we do take some... foreign currency borrowing in the form of PCFC and buyer's credit and all. So this borrowing, there is some M2M one-time loss we have booked, which will be, you know, as against inventory. So whenever that inventory will be sold off, so we will be getting some operational gain on that account. But this is one-time booked on an M2M basis in the finance costs for this quarter. But this, the corresponding part of this gain will be reflected in the operational income in the P&L.
Okay. So now that we've booked it, as you said, whatever gain could come from the sale of whatever from the goods in. Okay.
Yeah,
and the forex cost of six
goods is bought on a lower price, lower dollar price. We have already paid that goods for that goods. So this will be whenever this goods will be exported against the export order we already have. So that gain will come.
Okay, but it still will not be to the tune of 7.9 crores.
So that is in the range. So loss we have booked is approximately 6 crores in this finance cost.
Okay. Understood. And the forex cost of 6.7 crores?
The forex cost,
if you see in your expenses items that will be reclassified to profit or loss, you have shown foreign currency translation reserve.
So this is the only cost, 6 crore approximately, we have booked in this finance cost. This is the only loss.
Okay. Understood. And there's one of the slides, I think it was slide 19. I saw that, you know, the value-added products from FY 21 to 22 has fallen from 44% to 42% as a percentage of total revenue. But during the same time, our margins have moved much higher. Can you explain the anomaly?
So this is basically a one-time situation, because as we mentioned that there had been some logistic disruption. So some of the finished goods is lying there in the plants, and also because we could not get to sell it to the OEMs, we have diverted some of the material to the traders. So it's just a one-time. Otherwise, we are online in line with our commitment to increase the value-added products overall.
Okay. So do you mean that in this
quarter, what was happening is that there was some logistic disruption. So we were not able to bring the goods for value addition to India. So, and we were compelled to sell some of the goods directly from the subsidiary before we do undertake some value addition. So we have to sell that to some other country to the traders. So this is a one-time impact, and we will continue to increase this number.
So do you mean to say that the revenue growth could have been much higher if things were okay?
Yeah, to some extent, yes.
Okay. And in terms of volume guidance, you know, we mentioned that 25 to 30% growth in volume, but in absolute numbers, will Mundra, like how much will Mundra contribute for FY23? Mundra, Chittor also, we indicated that we are investing, like 1-2 crores of capex, and you know, that could result in a large revenue addition. So Mundra plus Chittor plus international, what is the volume, overall volume number that we could see? International could be tricky, but Mundra and Chittor, what is the absolute numbers in terms of volumes for FY23 that we could see?
So Mundra, we have a capacity of approximately 20,000 tons at this moment.
Right.
And we are also increasing the capacity by mid of the year or by third quarter. So the total volume number from Mundra should be close to approximately 22,000 tons of lead. And we are also planning to have aluminium recycling also in future in Mundra. So that whatever we import and export for aluminium also, that can be done from Mundra itself. And for Chittor, the capacity of Chittor is approximately 44,000 tons, including plastic and the lead part. And so this year we did approximately 36,000 tons from Chittor. But going forward, we are planning to increase this number from 36,000 tons to approximately 45,000 to 47,000 tons.
Okay.
So overall, if you talk about in India, business would again grow similarly by around 25% in volume terms, and the overseas business will also grow at the same levels. So there is no change in the mix in terms of growth from all these three segments.
So how much would a Mundra contributed in this quarter?
So Mundra, as it was started initially, so only approximately 4,500 tons we did it from. So this was the only quarter, because we started somewhere around November.
So 4,500 tons is the volume number.
So quarterly we could do anything between 5,000 to 5,500.
Yes.
And how much does Sri Lanka subsidiary contribute to the overall revenues?
So Sri Lanka overall revenue contribution is somewhere around 5 to 7% only.
Okay.
So it will not impact us that much because we have other.
It has not stopped
completely. We are still doing certain business. It has only gone down to some extent, and we believe that probably in one quarter we will be back to normal. But even then, we are increasing our capacities in Ghana, also in Senegal. Togo, a new plant is coming up. So we believe that we are in a good position to manage whatever disruptions Sri Lanka brings.
Okay. So over the next year, as we scale up Ghana, Senegal, Togo, what is the capex that we envisage?
So it's around 70 to 80 crores in the next year, the total capex, including the capex in India as well as overseas.
This is all fresh capex, right?
Sorry?
All fresh capex.
All fresh capex.
In the existing verticals.
Right. And usually what is the asset turn on this capex? Because I know the Chittur one has some crazy asset turns, but on an average, if you're doing such capex, international or domestic, what is the asset turn?
So asset turn is approximately 8 to 9x what we achieve normally.
Okay. And in terms of the EBITDA per ton, you said plastic will keep getting better. And is that the case for, so we of course saw a drop in aluminium. What was the reason that you said the drop in EBITDA per ton for aluminium this quarter?
Aluminium, we do not have a hedging strategy as of now because the volumes are lower, and also because we are into alloys and you can't 100% hedge aluminium because we are not dealing into pure aluminium. So it has gained certain EBITDA margins because of the improvement in the prices of aluminium. Although we try to make it neutral in the sense that we try to oversell whenever the markets are going up, or because we don't want to take into consideration the volatility of the markets. But we believe that we still made certain EBITDA margin because of this increase in the commodity prices. So if the commodity prices remain stable, I think there will be a around 2 rupees reduction in the total EBITDA margins maximum.
Okay. And with say Mundra scaling up completely, Chittur coming.
Sorry to interrupt. Request
just
you
a follow-up
please.
Question. Yes, just a follow-up question.
Yeah, please.
So in terms of lead, since Chittur and Mundra would be coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So the EBITDA per ton will only increase from here for lead?
Not EBITDA per ton increase will not happen from the Indian business going forward, because most of these businesses, the additional business would come from buying and selling arrangements with the OEMs. So this will not increase the EBITDA margins, but because the inventory, it's a zero working capital business, so overall return on capital will increase, but the EBITDA margins would be a little lower than the overall EBITDA margins of the business.
For this incremental business, but overall the EBITDA margin per ton for lead business will remain same in the same similar range.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Nitin A, an investor. Please go ahead. Participants are requested to restrict their questions to 2 per participant. Over to you, sir.
Mr. Kansal, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I think it took cash flow from operations and therefore FCF has in fact reduced in spite of robust revenue growth during the year, which is somewhat underwhelming. Could you share some color on this with the management's guidance for OCF and FCF for FY23 and FY26? Thank you.
So this negative free cash flow is because of, as we mentioned, that there was some inventory pile up because of some logistics disruptions. So going forward, as we are reducing the working capital cycle, so there will be free cash flow generation, positive generation, even considering the capex of 70 to 80 crores every year. So we will be generating some free cash flow in from FY23 onwards.
Okay. Secondly, as per your investor materials, which point out that most of your sales are in India, though most of your profit, in fact, comes from your overseas operations. This is also evident from the difference between consolidated and standalone numbers and YOY changes in the same. So could you please shed some light on this and how could the picture change over the next few years? Thanks.
So, going forward also, this will remain similar. In the sense that we make more margins from our overseas business because the procurement cost, because we have a very vast network of our own procurement yards in various countries. So our overall procurement cost is quite low as compared to the procurement cost in India. So that gives us a better margins. That gives us better margins in our overseas businesses. So it will continue to remain the similar lines, because in India what we do is we import all the material from the similar locations. So the logistic cost eats up most of the gross margin from the business. So but as we have now increased our capacities overseas, and also as we have increased the capacity in Mundra, so that will also add on to certain gross margin numbers from the Indian business as well.
Yes, but don't you think that the increase in crude oil prices could partially offset the advantage of scale for us and therefore our margins?
In the shorter run, yes, you could see certain disruptions because of the increased fuel or power cost, but eventually we are only a company that is into processing. So in the end, either from the buyer side or from the seller side, there will be certain changes. We are already discussing in terms of premiums over the increase in premiums from the seller side also, because the overall number for everybody will increase or decrease. Whereas in our favor, what we are doing is we are constantly finding new ways to take care of these increase in power costs. As Sunilji already mentioned, that we have put up a rubber recycling unit and we are getting fuel oil from this unit for our own consumption. So that and slowly we want to build up these capacities in almost all our plants. So that will take care of the increase or decrease in the power cost in the future for us also.
And in addition to this, we are also focusing on increased use of solar power. So, which is also help us in reducing the power cost.
Okay, thank you, Sunil ji and Yogi ji. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investment. Please go ahead. As the line is on hold, we move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Faisal from HG Hawa and Cooperation. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So this is looking like a very interesting space, you know, with the entire recycling coming into so much focus. So will we also go more multi-locational or multi-country, or our strategy will be to, you know, more spread out in India itself? And what would be our breakdown between, you know, metals, plastic, and paper, etc., in our entire revenue?
So the current businesses that we are in, we believe that we would grow both in India as well as overseas. We see huge opportunities both in India because of the change in the policy mechanism of the government. There is already talks about EPR, then we have a battery waste management rules coming into picture. So we see a huge growth in India itself, because we believe now the recycling would start happening in the organized sector, which was earlier happening only in the unorganized sector. So there also there is this huge growth opportunity. But overseas also we are very because most of our operations are in Africa and to some extent in Central America, and both these economies are growing at double-digit figures.
So we see huge opportunities in these countries as well. So in both these cases, we would be growing. So in the end, we believe that the numbers currently at around 35% to 40% of our overall revenue would continue to come from overseas, whereas India would continue to remain at 60% to 65% going forward also.
So would it be a fair statement to make that our company will, you know, grow like at 15-17% in terms of tonnage for the next 7 to 8 years at least?
So for the
even
next
if we don't add more geographies?
So for the next 3 to 4 years, definitely we are targeting a growth rate of 25%. And going forward, because we are also planning to enter into other verticals like e-waste, lithium, copper, paper, steel, so we can see growth numbers going doing even better going forward.
And is there any thought process within the company to, you know, go for like, you know, a cooperative model, or, you know, to adopt any technology to really, you know, take the unorganized sector also along with it, and, you know, rather than you know, try to build up its own organization, try to have a kind of a, like an Uberization of, you know, these unorganized sector also, and, you know, take up volumes through them.
No, when we talk about organized or unorganized sector, I mean, it's a little different in the sense that we definitely, the unorganized sector would remain the part of the overall recycling scheme. It's not going to go away, but the only thing is to make them work in an organized manner. Because, you know, in the industry we are, especially lead is a hazardous material. So we want even the unorganized sector to do it in a proper manner so that there is no health hazard to the societies wherever they are working. At the same time, there is a kind of, I mean, in the unorganized sector generally, they don't pay the GST. If they start doing that also, because there is currently a mismatch between organized and unorganized sector. Number one, because of the price that the organized sector pays for remaining sustainable in terms of environmental sustainability, and also because there is a mismatch of paying the GST and not paying the GST. Once that starts coming into picture, probably even playing field for all, I think there is no difference between unorganized and organized sector later on.
And can you give some examples of we adopting technology to really, you know, increase our business and making things more simpler?
I think we've mentioned sometimes back that we also have our own project division where we develop, make, fabricate, design recycling plants, and we give turnkey solutions to all. Not only all of our materials that we are used are designed and developed by Gravita, we also give solutions to others in terms of lead and aluminium recycling. So we continually keep on doing R&Ds, we continuously start doing process improvements and we continuously try to find out solution for better environment friendly processing basically.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pranay Jain from Dealville Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And congratulations, gentlemen, on a strong show.
Thank you.
Couple of questions. One, out of the 25% volume CAGR that we are penciling for the next 3 to 4 years, could you give a sense of the rising contribution from plastics and rubber, at least for the next 1-2 years?
Yeah, so as we earlier discussed also that we want to decrease the dependency on the lead business. Although lead is also growing, so we are trying to increase the higher growth in case of plastic and the aluminum part, and even from the new verticals like rubber, and we are also coming up with the copper recycling. So the contribution from rubber and plastic and aluminium is currently approximately 16-17%, which will be growing to approximately 25% or more in next 2 to 3 years.
And how could the margin profile shape up as our facilities mature and we become more efficient, not just in processing but also procurement? What's the EBITDA per ton or EBITDA margin aim in the next 2 years?
So EBITDA per ton, in case of plastic, we have recently improved on significantly from earlier to approximately 17,000-18,000 per ton. So plastic should be in the similar number of 16,000-17,000 per ton. Aluminium is also slightly higher it was earlier because of some gains on the inventory side, because of some partially hedged inventory. But going forward, it should be in the range of 18,000 to 20,000 rupees per ton. And lead should be similar in the range of 16 to 17,000 rupees per ton in case of lead in overall.
And lastly, for the new segments like lithium ion, e-waste and paper, by when do you think we'll be in a position to put up capacity?
So we are still working on identifying the location, exact location where we can put up this facility. So we have already done some work, homework of on steel recycling in Africa and paper recycling in Central America. So we hope that in next 2 years, one of the pilot projects of each of this paper and steel recycling will be, we will be initiating for at least both of one plant each of both the divisions.
Okay, not considering India strongly for these.
Not for paper or steel. But definitely for e-waste and lithium ion, we're considering India also. But these two are location specific because we also look at the overall margins or the availability of raw material and whether there are other units competing in those locations and what are the benefit of having those units in those locations. So for example, if we talk about steel, we are planning a inland location in Africa where generally, they sell the scrap out to India or China, and they import the steel back to those countries. So we see huge potential in those countries when we put up a steel recycling unit there. Similarly, for paper in Central America, they buy new paper from US and they sell the scrap to India again. So we see huge opportunities in these two locations for these two projects. Even we are considering copper recycling in India.
This year or next year?
This year.
So this year we are initiating a pilot project for copper recycling in India.
Okay. So second half perhaps we'll see something coming from. Got it. So since you mentioned competition from other units, just wanted to get your perspective on this. How are the other organized players trying to capitalize on this opportunity? I mean, who are the top two or three that we are watching out for in the organized space, and whom do we benchmark ourselves against, just so that we have our FY26 ambition on track?
So first of all, I mean, it's a very fragmented market. As I mentioned, that around 70% of the total business goes to the unorganized sector, and because of logistic issues, these are generally region-wise or geography-wise a fairly fragmented market. So there is no company that has we have yet to come across companies that are there in all geographical locations. I mean, even in India, there are very few companies that have multi-locational presence. So, this is the USP that Gravita has currently, because even in India, we have a plant in West, we have plant in North, we have plant in Central India, we have plant in South India, and we are also planning a new plant in the next 2 years in East also. So it gives us a specific advantage over others because we can collect batteries from all across India and then sell it to the customers directly from the nearest plant. But having said that, there are other companies also because there is a huge opportunity. Currently, 70 to 80% of the material goes to the unorganized sector. So there is huge potential in terms of all the organized players that are there in the market to come and take advantage of this opportunity.
So it's a very, I mean, if we talk about plastic also, it's a very fairly big market. Currently, we are not even touching 5% of the total recycling market there in plastic as well. In terms of competition, if you talk about in India, we have Pondioxides and Nile, which are doing in lead recycling. Then we have certain other players in aluminium recycling. In plastic recycling, is very fragmented currently.
Thank you. Thank you for this perspective.
Yeah, thanks.
And all the best for the road ahead.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one now. We take the next question from the line of Navneet B. from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. One, you mentioned on the commodity cycle in lead and plastic, you're sort of indifferent to, you know, the commodity prices. However, your EBITDA per ton as compared to last year has actually grown quite a lot. It was 12,500 in Q4 last year, 18,700 now. Plastic was actually 6,000, it's 19,000 now. So if you could explain this variance, it'll be helpful, please.
So as we mentioned that in plastic, basically, till last year, the overall business was, facing a slump because of COVID. The collection was also lower, the demand in the market was also lower. But now, after COVID, I think the market has stabilized a lot. And we see a great demand for recycled products in the US and Europe. So because of that, the overall margins have increased. Not only that, because now the volume has also grown up, so we are taking advantage of economies of scale in plastic also. Similarly, in lead, as we mentioned that our business overseas has grown up, we have also increased the capacities. So here again, economies of scale is there. The value-added products have gone up. That has also given us additional gross margins. So all these combined have given us higher margins in lead also compared to last year.
As we started Mundra plant also, we are saving the logistics because we are very close to the port for imports. So earlier the scrap was moving to Jaipur for processing. Now we are processing that scrap in Mundra itself and exporting back to different countries from Mundra. So that's again a saving in the logistic cost.
Okay, so on volumes, especially in plastic, actually your volume growth has been only 1% over Q4 FY21. So would economies of scale be really a factor? Because at least as compared to last quarter 21, it's only 1% growth in plastic for the increase in margins.
Quarter probably you're talking about.
I'm talking about year to year.
Year to year.
So, as per your presentation, your plastic volume was 4232 in Q4 FY21. It's 4272 now, so that's about a 1% increase. Whereas the EBITDA per ton has gone up from 5895 to 19,416. So that's almost
3x. Yeah, correct. So basically, not correct. There is a certain issue, I think. So I think we'll get back to you on this. I think there is certain issue. The volume growth has come. I don't know if it is 1%. I think we'll have to relook at this number again.
Sure. No worries. Second, on your rubber, facilities that you're setting up. So what type of rubber are you looking at to recycle? Is it going to cater to the road sector or is it going to cater to the tire manufacturers?
It is basically currently for in-house consumption only, but later on when we increase it, but it's only a pilot project as of now, but when we increase the total capacities, we will cater to the tire manufacturers also in the future.
So this is going to be micronized rubber, right?
Sorry?
So are you going to extract, are you going to recycle micronized rubber or is it going to be crumb rubber?
So crumb rubber, currently is crumb rubber, but we will go into value additions later on also.
Okay, and what's the size of facility that you're setting up?
It's only 600 tons per month capacity as of now.
So 7,000 per annum. Okay, got it. And lastly, just an observation. As compared to your Q3 presentation, you've changed your vision here from 2025 to 2026. While all the metrics are broadly the same, but have you pushed your target to achieve 50% value add and 25% non-led by a year? Any particular reason for just shifting the year by one? It was 2025 earlier, it's now 2026.
Yeah, basically, it's because we are taking some growth on a CAGR basis. So we see that the similar growth of like going forward, growth of 25% in top line or volumes or 35% in the bottom line. So that growth will continue till 2026. So that visibility we have. So instead of giving the visibility up to 2025, we are giving the visibility up to 2026.
Okay, but your contribution from value-add products and non-value-add products?
That will continue to be more than 50%.
We have increased the, I mean, earlier it was 25%, now it is 25% plus for ROC. Similarly, 50% plus for value-added product remains there. So
it should be more than 50% in case of value-added products.
Okay, understood. And just coming back to your EBITDA per ton, you're saying the sustainable range, as you mentioned earlier on the call, for lead, plastic, and aluminium would, at least on a year basis, would be in that range. It would not fluctuate more than that on a full year basis, right?
It should be in the range like whatever we mentioned.
Sure, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Rahul Bhangaria from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, you've mentioned about a few diversifications, rubber, copper, and else. I'm assuming these business models are different from your basic lead, aluminium, plastic that you're doing. How do you plan to kind of, the bandwidth needed will be different, the models will be different. How do you plan to deal with all that?
So some of the verticals are extension of our current operations. Like, for example, rubber is very similar to what we are doing in aluminium and plastics. Similarly, copper is also very similar. In terms of lithium ion, of course, it's a little different. But and paper also is a little different. But we can hire people. Huh? So we can hire people. We can look at. And in lithium batteries also, if you see, the overall the market dynamics remain the same. We have to collect scrap from the scrap holders and give it to the OEMs. Recycle it and give it to the OEMs. So sourcing, which plays a very important part, remains core of the total value chain that we have. So it remains the core of each and every, core of the value chain of each and every vertical that we are going into.
So there is a significant synergy on the side of the sourcing, which is the biggest thing in this recycling business. So other things like technology and the expertise, we can always, gain, as we did in case of plastic also, aluminium also, so that can be gained.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pranav. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Shanti Patel from Shanti Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. And thank you very much for a good set of numbers. Now, looking to your all expansion plans, etc., is it safe to assume that in next 3 years our turnover will be more than double and consequently the profit also?
Yes, sir. So we already, in the last 3 years, we already doubled the number that we already demonstrated. So it can be again repeated.
Whatever capacity increase we have already set up and whatever capacity increase we are in the process to set up itself will take this forward to around 3 to 3.5 thousand crore numbers in revenue. And we see the profit would grow at a faster rate than the revenue numbers.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pranay Jain from Dealwell Capital. Please go ahead.
Just one understanding on the value added products. From the present level, what do we see that scaling up to by the end of this year and next year? And could you give us a sense of what is the rising names of these products, the value-added products that we are bringing to market this year and next?
So basically, we would take it to around 45% in this current year, 45 to 46% in the current year, and eventually taking up to around 50% in another 2 to 3 years time. So in terms of what exactly are there, then we make red lead, we make oxides, sheets, lead bricks, specialized plastic granules for food grade, certain customized alloys. These all give us a higher margin than the main vanilla products like plastic flakes or refined lead. So wherever we get an additional margin of around more than 2.5 to 3%, over and above the cost incurred in making those products, we consider it as value-added products.
I'll just rephrase it. Which are the value-added products which are more in demand now compared to last year, and incrementally you see their share increasing? That's what I wanted to understand.
So food-grade products from our plastic business is one. Red lead, lead sheet. So all the, I mean, the demand was already there. We have now started giving it to, we have trying to convert it more, because it depends on which segment you sell more to. So customized alloys also is increasing. So we are increasing in all the segments over and above, because if you see, the overall volume has also grown. Last year around 50% the volume has grown. So when we have also increased the overall the value added products. So if the value added product even remains same, that means there is a growth of around 57% from the value added products also in the last year.
Since you mentioned that there is R&D and continuous process improvement for new solutions being done, I wanted to get a sense if there are any new products which we will see in the next 1 to 2 years.
Yes, we in plastic, yes, because in lead we are already there in so many from the past so many years. We keep on developing new alloys in lead as per the requirements from the OEMs from time to time. Regularly, we work with them to develop products. So that is already there, but other products like lead sheet, lead shorts, etc. are already there. The market is already there, and we have been making these for the past 3-4 years. It's only that now we are focusing more on developing these products. But in terms of plastic, definitely we are looking at options to increase the overall offering to the food grade industries. So we're looking at other options also in plastic.
And likewise, potential of that in rubber and copper, is there anything we can look at?
The rubber and copper, to start with, we would go initially to just streamline the operation in the current one and a half years. And once we have streamlined those operations and we have overall increased our capacities, we would look into value addition of, definitely, but at a later stage, not immediately.
Got that. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for participating in the earnings conference call. We have tried to address all your questions. If you have any further inquiries, please connect with our investor relations team and we will be happy to address the same. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect.